You may be seated. Friends, faith comes first. Faith always comes first. Faith comes before action. Faith comes before change. Faith comes before transformation. Faith comes before understanding. The letter of Hebrews tells us, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by faith, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. That writer of Hebrews goes on to give real scriptural examples of faith. Abel and Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Jacob, Moses, and more. Repeating that great refrain, by faith. Because faith always comes first. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be wholly acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And Lord, we pray that by faith you will grant us things that are in the abundance of your provision. Not only to grant us those things, Lord, but we may see them and to be able to participate in them. To the glory of your holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, as some of you know, very shortly after her 90th birthday party, just a few weeks ago, Miss Kay Kitchens been over to pick something up off of her floor at her home. And in that simple act, unfortunately, she suffered a pretty severe back injury to some of her lower vertebrae. And over the next several days, she painfully went about her days and finally admitted that she had to go to the hospital. And so she went to the hospital. She hates going to the hospital. I know this because she told me. And in fact, she hates going to the hospital because she told me in her own words that when old people go to the hospital, too many times they don't come out. Friends, faith comes first. Faith comes first. I want to give a little bit of background information about what we read this morning in 1 Kings chapter 17. I believe a bit of the background information is necessary when we read this bit. So 1 Kings 17, 8 through 16 that we read this morning is a little bit of the story of that great prophet Elijah. Though I think it is important, like I said, that we know where it is that took him, where he was in his life that took him to the place that he was going to be at the town gates of the town of Zarephath and meeting this widow that he met. Well, in that time, the kingdom of Israel, the people of Israel were divided. There was a northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, that included places like Shechem and Samaria. And then there was the southern kingdom of Judah, which was centered around Jerusalem and the holy temple, the Jewish temple. And, you know, we're at this point in the history of Israel, we are several generations past King David. And at this point, things had really gone from bad to worse with each new king in both of the kingdoms. And we hear that constant refrain in 1 Kings. We hear it beyond that as well. That the people were led by these different kings, and they did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. These kings led the people and were doing what was evil in the sight of the Lord. The leadership at this point seems to have actually now reached an almost epic peak of evil, with King Ahab and his evil wife Jezebel. And things were so bad that the Lord, in his righteous judgment, sent a major drought upon the land. A major drought upon the land. But during that time, the Lord called his prophet Elijah. He called Elijah to be the voice of the people, to speak to the people. And the Lord provided for Elijah the basic necessities that he needed in his life. So he sent Elijah to live at this small stream in an area called Cherith, which is east of the Jordan River. And he was to be cared for, strangely, by ravens. These birds, God was going to send these birds, these ravens, to come and bring him daily bread and meat to eat, and he would drink water from the brook. The Lord was miraculously providing the basic necessities that Elijah needed to live. And the scripture tells us that Elijah lived by this brook for some time. We don't know exactly how long, but it was more than just a couple of weeks stay. He was there for a while. Elijah was there being fed by the ravens during the drought until finally, at last, that brook, that little stream as well, along with everything else, completely dried up. And then, this is where we pick up this morning. Then Elijah was called by God to leave the brook. It wasn't there anymore. There was no more water. Elijah was called to leave the brook. And I want to consider that for a moment. Was Elijah called to leave the brook because it dried up and God was delivering him to another water source? Is that the reason? Or is there perhaps something else? It's very clear in Scripture, multiple times, that when God wants to provide, especially water, He'll do it. He'll do it. Was God calling Elijah to something else? The Lord could have provided Elijah enough water out of anything, even out of a rock, in the driest of places. Instead, though, I believe the Lord was calling Elijah to get up and go. He was calling him to leave, and that he would still provide for Elijah no matter where he went. Similar to one of the things that Bishop Edgar spoke to us about this past Wednesday, when he was speaking to us about stewardship. And one of the things that he mentioned was to live in abundance and provision from the Lord, not only to live into it, but to trust the Lord, to have the faith that the Lord's provision is not only enough, but it is abundant. So the word of the Lord came to Elijah. God spoke. The word of the Lord came to him. God spoke. This is always a trustworthy endeavor, friends. God speaking, it's always trustworthy. The Lord told Elijah to go to Zarephath, the city outside of the bounds of the Hebrew people, full of pretty hostile Gentiles, who many of them actually despised the religion of the Jewish people. But this is where the Lord called Elijah to go, to be. To a place that would certainly be dangerous for him. Not only that, but he called Elijah to go see a widow there who would feed him. No longer the ravens. Now it's a widow who was going to feed him. Now, again, strange enough that God chose Elijah to be fed by these birds when he was at the brook. But now he's going to feed Elijah with a Gentile widow in the middle of an extreme drought. You know, I don't think I have to remind you, but I will, that widows would have been amongst the lowest people in terms of wealth and possessions. They had neither of them. Widows did not have things like that. And she was a Gentile in the middle of an extreme drought, lived in an area hostile to God's people. How on earth could this woman ever be able to provide for Elijah? And why would she even be willing to? Nevertheless, Elijah went. He listened to the word of God that was spoken. Amazing things happen when we do that. He found the woman just as the Lord said. There she was. She was outside the city gates and she was there collecting sticks. She's there to grab a couple of sticks off the ground. But Elijah, in his boldness, because he knew the Lord had spoken to him, asked the woman to bring him a drink of water. She obliged. But before she could leave to go get that drink of water, he says, wait a minute. Bring me some water and, something to eat too. Now, The request for water, I believe, is quite enough. But now there's a request for bread. So bread and water, that's way too much. Way too much. So she actually pushes back a little bit. It's important to notice also that she recognized Elijah as a Hebrew, as a Jewish person, as a Jewish man, because she says, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked and only a little oil in a jug." So she tells him that she can't do this. She cannot fulfill this request. She could probably give him a little water to drink, but she has no food to give him. And in fact, this woman went out of her home outside the city gates to gather up a few sticks, not logs, a few sticks, so that she could go home, make a small fire, and use the little bit of flour she had, little bit of oil she had, make one last little cake of bread so that her and her son could eat it, and then they were going to die. That was it. They were going to starve to death after that. This is how bad the drought was. There was nothing for them. No provision, no water, no food. This woman and her son were going to die. At least that was the plan that she had when she left the gates that morning. We remember that the Lord sent Elijah to Zarephath. That was a calling. The Lord called Elijah to get up and leave this brook where he had lived for some time to go now to this town of Zarephath, putting himself in danger. We also see that the Lord called and sent this woman, whether she realized it or not, to the city gates that day to go so that her path would cross with Elijah's path and they would meet. And this is something I would like to recommend to all of us as we consider this meeting and other meetings that we may have throughout our own lives on a daily basis. Wherever you go, you've been sent there. You've been called there. We consider that. Wherever you go, you have been called to be there. Let that sink in for just a moment. Sometimes we go to places that we don't think that's possible. Our plans may indeed be different than the Lord's plans. We may have one thing in mind when the Lord has something altogether different plan for us. This woman, she thought that she was going to gather up a few sticks, go home, bake a little cake. It says she had a handful of flour. Just a small handful of flour. You know, we use bread for communion that is baked by our own parishioners. And those of you who bake that, a handful of flour makes one of those little breads that we use. One. That's not enough to fill even one person's belly, even a child's belly. This woman has been told to bake a small cake of bread. She thought she was going to die. The drought was too much. The things that were going on in life were too much. It was too heavy. The Lord had other plans. The Lord had other plans. He usually does. We make plans. The Lord has other plans. Elijah had the obedience to listen to God's word. Thankful for that. Elijah was a great prophet of God. He left the dried up brook to go to Zarephath. This Gentile widow also, reluctantly, but she also had the obedience to listen to God's word. She knew, because she acknowledged it, that God sent Elijah to be there. "As the Lord your God lives," she said. She knew that he was a man of God. She knew that God sent him to be there. Maybe she didn't realize that she was also sent to be there. But out of her obedience, out of her faithfulness, in something that she barely knew, an abundance came. An abundance came from God's word. The Lord provides when we need it the most. Taking little and creating abundance. How do we respond to God's word in these times? So understand, of course, that this certainly is a passage about giving, as was our lesson from the Gospel of Mark. It's a passage about giving. Giving out of abundance, but also giving out of little, and God's provision providing for what we need. And we are in this season of stewardship and of planning for 2025 when it comes to our own budget, but also beyond with the development of our property and church place. Our giving is in response to God's word, unquestionably. Our planning is in response to God's word. Of course it is. And there are things that I believe the Lord is calling us into, and by our giving and beyond, that will require his further provision and our obedience and our faith in his provision. This passage is certainly about giving. But brothers and sisters, more importantly, it's about faith. This passage is about faith. Faith comes first. Obedience to God's word comes from faith. Faith that the Lord will provide through his people, and that we will have abundance to step out into his calling, even when we think we're gathered out to gather up sticks. Faith comes first. So when we consider all the places we go, all of the things that we do, all of the different ways that we participate and everything else, when we consider all of the places we go, do we consider that we have been called to be in those places? Even the difficult places. Even the mundane places. Where, when, how does faith in Jesus Christ affect our normal, everyday lives? Coming, going, praying, sitting in traffic, working, going to school, shopping, rest, leisure, all of those things. Kay Kitchens thought she was going to the hospital, not knowing what could happen. And I know you will absolutely believe this, but she's been handing out those little crosses. You know that. She's been handing out those little crosses to everyone that she sees. In fact, I heard that, was it as of yesterday, she had gotten rid of all of them? She had handed out all of those crosses? And now she needs more. And people are coming to her room to listen to her and to get one of those crosses from her. She thought she was going to the hospital for a surgery. Faith comes first. Faith comes first. The Lord's using Kay to be a presence in the life of others. Friends, in God's provision, there is abundance out of God's provision. Last Friday night, I thought I was going to watch Ben play in a football game. Ben thought he was going to play in the last football game of the season. Turns out that's not all that happened, is it? Now, we may not know just yet the reason that God wanted us to be there, but we know for certain that the Lord provided abundantly for Ben that night. In all times, in all places, wherever we go, God is calling us to be there. And there is abundance out of God's provision. Friends, faith comes first in all things. Faith comes first. Faith is larger than I am. Faith is larger than you are. Faith is larger than any one of us. The Lord calls, we respond. The Lord sends, we are obedient. The Lord asks for giving, we give. The Lord died to save us, so we respond. Never to our own glory, but always and only to the glory of the one who has called us to be here right now. Amen.